I brought in is because of something I read in the Fargo Forum earlier this week by Melissa Vandersted. I want to give local journalism a shout out. She wrote a story about it. It came to my attention. It's about the proposed elimination of public comment at the Fargo City Commission meetings. And so I thought, who better to come talk about it than City Commissioner John Strand? John is a city commissioner. I know that he just recently announced his bid for re-election. John, thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, Dane, it's a pleasure, and I get to see how you do behind the microphone. This is fun. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, the first time I did it, I was a lot more nervous. Today, I feel a little better. So, yeah, you know, I kicked it out there, but let me throw it up to you. Why don't you, for the folks who haven't, you know, don't pay as much attention to the city commission or city government, bring us up to speed on what happened or what's going on with that issue.
I sure will. And it's an ongoing conversation. It's not anything etched in stone. The decisions aren't finalized at all, obviously. But for several months, we've been looking at governance processes in the school, in the city, and having working group meetings to evolve our governance policies and practices. And one of the elements of many in that process is to look at our meetings, formulas, structures, the way we have our meetings. And in that vein, we had immense discussions on public comment sections of our agenda. And years ago, they didn't have public. It's been all over the board, I'm sure, through history. But some years back, we didn't have public comment. And the city of Fargo, then the commission included and added public comment. And we kind of mirrored, to a large degree, mirrored the school district's approach, you know, where you read a statement, these comments are not to be personal, you do not expect a response from us, don't be slandering anybody, and so on. And we incorporated public comments in, and since then, West Fargo and most jurisdictions, I think, now have some sort of public engagement section of their agenda. Well, then there's times where folks and people and even people at the table say, you know, this has just gone a little too far. This isn't what we expected. This isn't ideal. This isn't working optimally, you know, and that debate had unfolded. And where we somewhat landed, I believe, in our working sessions, again, it wasn't, Dana, a final decision, but we agreed basically to open up the beginnings of the meetings to have general public comments relative to the agenda topics. So we would hear from people about things in that meeting. And then at the end of the meeting, we decided we would experiment and try, at that point in the agenda, open it up for general comments, which might be who knows what they're about. But it's things people want to share. And that's where we landed. And then a couple of weeks ago, an evolved proposal came forward to us to consider modifying that hugely. And in my mind, it had the potential of maybe eliminating aspects or some of public comments and or pushing it out to a quarterly meeting type stuff. And that we just kind of, I don't know that we all saw that discussion coming. And in that same meeting, you can imagine, you know, we've had several meetings in a row of citizens speaking up. And, you know, you should see our diversity in our community. If you want to know how diverse our community is, look at the audience at some of these city commission meetings, and the Israeli-Palestine Hamas issue has been front and center, where we have people in our community who are affected back home and are asking us to make a statement on behalf of both sides of these issues, mostly calling for a ceasefire. So imagine, here we are having a room full of people, a full list of people wanting to speak to us, and in the same meetings we're having conversations like we're not sure we're going to continue public comment.
Right.
It wasn't the best timing, perhaps.
Yeah. And that, from what I've been reading about it, it kind of seemed like it was unexpected. And so, you know, from what I'm hearing from you, do you know how that happened, or has there been a decision to backtrack on that? Or now that people have spoken and pushed back, I know in the story that I read, you spoke up in favor of keeping it. You know, where does the board stand to your understanding, or where do we stand now knowing that this is a possibility, accepting that it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion?
The decision we made at the motion, after the motion I presented last of the last meeting, was to send it back to our working group to revisit and readdress this topic in general, because we're clearly not on the same page, and it, to my mind, clearly doesn't reflect where we had last been. Now, internally somewhere, there were conversations where people, I don't know exactly for sure, advocated that we further go at this, and the discussion advanced to us suggested that we eliminate the earlier public comment, pull it to the end of the meeting, that we eliminate, enhance the rules for decorum, like no clapping, no signs, stuff like that. And I'm not sure where all that came from. It didn't come from our working group.
Okay.
And it's not where we landed, and I'm sure we'll learn.
Sure.
But a lot of things happen with discussions and people advance topics, but that didn't come from our full commission.
And now that I'm hearing these answers, let me step back for people who maybe don't participate as much as you and I do in local government. The idea of public comment itself, let's define that. What is public comment? Why is it important? What do people do? Because when I think of local government, and it's interesting when you say that they didn't have it before, because from my political science background in my life, to me, the hallmark of local government is public comment. And so why don't you tell the folks what that is and why it's important to you and why you stuck up for it? Because I think that helps shape this discussion.
And again, I'm only one voice on the commission. I might be a minority voice, okay? We have an agenda that has business items, that are public hearings, that are published to be designated times. There'll be a hearing on this zoning issue at such and such a time, 5:15 Monday night. And those include public comment because they're public hearings. They're formal hearings. Then the people in the community would often ask, well, how come they get to talk? And when can we talk? And when will you hear what we are thinking or wanting to talk to you about? So that's a different approach. That's a different type of public comment. It's not a public hearing, but it's a public comment. And we start our meetings off, and for about 4 or so years, we've given people 2.5 minutes. You sign up in advance. You have proper decorum, and you be respectful and don't be denigrating people and personalities, and don't expect a response from us, but we will hear you. And some of the times it's pretty surprising what you hear, and sometimes but it's people, and they've thought about this and they've anticipated and planned and signed up for and come to your meetings and sit into a meeting to share with you. So that's public comment. And when you're in the kitchen, sometimes it gets a little hot, but we signed up for it in my mind, and we owe the people a listening ear in my mind.
Sure. And look, that's why I brought you on. When I read the story, in my mind, that's the point of public comment too. I think part of being a legislator, whether it's national, state, or local, is to hear things even when you don't love it necessarily. We're going to kick to break, but I want to bring you back and ask a little more about this. Is that okay?
Absolutely, Dane.
All right. This is Afternoons Live. Dane DeCrayon for Tyler Axness. We're back on Afternoons Live. This is Dane DeCray. Once again, I'm in for Tyler Axness, who's in for Joel Heidkamp, who just can't be bothered on a Friday.
I think Joel's in Florida, maybe.
That
is he?
Yeah, he was at spring training last week.
Yeah,
and
he's
then
down
a week
there
off,
basking
so.
In the sun somewhere warm. But
I was hoping warmer. To start rumors. Rank
well,
rumors.
He hasn't been on air for the whole week, okay. So you can rumor away.
Well, there's no certainty where Joel is. Apparently, he's in Florida. I'm back here with John Strand. We are talking about, and it's probably a little fair for me to say this, I don't know if it's fair to call it the elimination of public comment. I do think it's fair to say that the public comment at the Fargo City Commission is being changed, or proposals to change it are occurring. And I am having John talk about why that might be, how that began. And so, John, my question that I've gotten, and I used to work for the ACLU, and you were telling me before the show you were one of the...
I was a founding board member of the ACLU of the Dakotas decades ago.
That's great. I love those kind of stories.
Unapologetic.
There you go. Me too. And so some of the people that I know at the ACLU and some of the activists...
They even defended Rush Limbaugh. So
right?
People can't attack the ACLU for everybody and everything.
That's right. Yep. And
anyway.
So some of the folks in town who are known activists, people like Wes Philame, Faith Dixon... when this happened, they got a hold of me and said, I think they're trying to stop our voice. And I don't ever think it's exactly that cut and dry. But what do you say to stuff like that where it's hard to not think that that might be some of the reason to cut public comment so you don't have to hear voices that you don't necessarily agree with, or who, more importantly, don't necessarily agree with you.
You know, I used to be an activist. For decades, for years, when I was new to Fargo, I was defined by the media as activist John Strand. It's a challenging road to be an activist and to stand up and to speak out for things that matter to you. But here's what I know. You know, when you're an activist, you just wish to be at the table. You wish somebody to hear who's at the table. You hope that they honor and respect you while they're at the table and you're not at the table. You know, you have your moment in time where you can maybe approach them and have your message or your narrative or your sign, and then you're gone. And too often the people at the table are then relieved and happy you're gone. And then those activists, any activists, are trying to rearrange how do we get back in front of the decision makers one more time to get their attention about something that's important to us. You know, so I understand that implicitly. And not every activist and not every vocal person out there has views everybody agrees with. Same with me. They don't like some of the things I say and do at all. It's fine. I will give them, in my opinion, they get to hear me, I will hear them. You know, and I don't believe this is intended to target specific individuals. However, you know that when we have a evolving new process that's a few years old, and sometimes for moments in time, like when the mask issue was going on, we had some very interesting characters at every meeting and always there, and some challenging us in ways just by being there. So I'm sure there are some out there who would say if we didn't have these activists, we didn't have the West Philomays and the Faith Dixons and the others, you know, we've had some great ones over the years that are really poignant and have something to say. And they put some research and thought into this. You know, so I sure hope it's not, Dane, intended to stifle and squelch the voice of just a few individuals who capitalize on the opportunity they have. And I welcome, I think they should, I would.
Sure. And that's encouraging for me to hear because, you know, I've never been on that side of the table of government. But, you know, I think what a lot of people are asking, you know, especially people who are more on the activist side is, if not this, what? And so, okay, fine. These meetings have become unwieldy because of this. But if this isn't our opportunity, then bring us into more meetings, more committees, more things. I mean, I would imagine that there's an opportunity or a desire to meet in the middle. But right now it feels like this is our only opportunity and you're cutting that off. And so what do you say to them if, okay, fine, we will help run the meetings better or whatever you think. We'll take you at your word. But how do we get a seat at the table?
And, you know, that's a legitimate question. How do you get onto a board or commission? How many years does it take to even get considered and get appointed? And so on, you know. And yet these meetings are for the public every 2 weeks. We invite the public to speak to us. We've created space and say, this is there for you. So for the moment, that's what we have. I think it's a hallmark of good democracy and good citizenship and good engage with your people and be willing to hear them. You know, and you have to have thick skin. And you also, I'll say this and I'll stop, but if you're going to get into the kitchen, you better be prepared for the heat in the kitchen.
And that heat is every Monday night. Is that right?
It's entertaining too.
Yeah. And I've been to a lot of them. I would say, listen, if this matters to you, go check out a city commission meeting. They're great. It's some of the best of Fargo. I really appreciate local democracy. John, last few seconds, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Good luck on your reelection campaign.
Hey, thanks, Dane. We'll see how all things go.
Afternoons Live, Dane DeCray.